How's everybody going? My name is Solomon, host of the Mindset Toolkit podcast, and on this episode, I'll be talking about Relentless by Tim Grover, where I'll be distilling down the concepts and main points that Grover raises in this great book. Thanks for joining me. So this is part two of this great, fantastic book to start off the new year. Check out part one, which featured a couple of weeks ago. And next week, we should have part three to wrap this guy up. So let's get right into it with Chapter 6, A Trip to the Dark Side. Akula tries to fight his dark side and loses. A closer can't control his dark side. A cleaner harnesses his dark side into raw, controlled power. What is the dark side? The dark side is who you really are. It's really listening to your instincts. You drop all of your inhibitions and you simply have actions and results. Everybody has a dark side. Everyone has secrets, desires, greed, maneuvers, so on and so forth. It's basically all the stuff you don't want anybody to know about. The hidden truth of who we really are, and really don't let anybody know who we really are. But it's getting rid of the judgmental opinions of others that hold you back. And it stems from us as children. We were all taught to stop these desires and instincts. Sit still, be quiet, wait your turn, so on and so forth. However, you look at a baby, they're relentless in what they want. They're hungry and they cry until they get fed. Now, it's a very simple analogy, but it's one that us as adults need to remember. We need to let go of these restraints that were placed on us since we were a kid and learn how to embrace taking action just to get results. It's not about taking stupid risks. It's about controlling the environment so that there are no risks. The most important thing is that you are the one in control of your impulses, not vice versa. That's the difference between a child and an adult. You know when you're getting out of control. The dark side gives everybody the ability to show up to the gym every day even though they don't want to. It gives them the ability to win a championship when the odds are stacked against them. The dark side can be used positive or negatively. Both champions, CEOs, and mafia bosses share the same relentless attitude to win at all costs. And they let nothing or anybody stand in their way. You have to do what you have to do so that you can do what you want to do. A cleaner's dark side isn't his weakness. It's part of who he is. It's about breaking the rules that you don't agree with in order to get what you want. And this spills out into all aspects of your life. Kind of take a look and observation of all the successful people that you admire. A lot of them aren't exactly cookie cutters. They're not the average person, obviously, but not necessarily in the field that you admire them for, whether it be sports, business, leadership, whatever. Their attitudes in their fields kind of spills over in the rest of their life, because how they do that is how they act everywhere else. And it's this thing that we have to learn how to control. Again, it's all about control. This dark side can't control us. It can't be a negative influence on us. We have to learn how to harness it and use its power when we need to use it. Chapter 7. A cooler buckles under pressure. A closer will be clutch in a pressure situation. The only step up when something is on the line. A cleaner is always clutch. Grover emphasizes that there's no such thing as a clutch gene. It's simply preparation plus opportunity. It's your predatory instinct plus the countless hours of training and development that allow you to be clutch. A true competitor always has pressure to thrive, and they're not waiting for a specific moment. The start of the game is the exact same as the end of the game. Being clutch is about being last minute, doing it when it counts. Relentless is about doing it every single minute. Waiting for the last minute means that you've played it safe for the rest of the game. Where was the competitiveness at 0-0 or 0-0-5? Having the ability to output the same amount of energy when nothing is on the line as when everything on the line is what separates a cleaner from the rest of the pack. Because one of the biggest reasons why people don't want to make the shot during a winning moment isn't that they'll miss. It's because that they fear that they'll have to keep making that shot in the future. They've set the bar too high for themselves to maintain that standard of expectation. However, cleaners don't run away from stress, you run towards it. For a cleaner, relaxing is something that weaker people do because they can't handle the pressure. You can't succeed without it. Your success depends on how you manage and handle that stress. A closer will let external pressure get to him, and it'll affect how he thinks and plans his strategy around that. When the pressure is on, they'll step up their game. Why wasn't their game stepped up in the first place? A cleaner doesn't respond to external pressure. This is because he puts the pressure back on the guy that's trying to get under his skin by refusing to acknowledge him. You know when you refuse to acknowledge somebody, doesn't it seem to agitate them more? And that's the biggest power you can have, because all of their tricks, they're not working, full stop. You're not letting it get under your skin, and by doing that, you're actually making it get under his skin. The other reason that cleaners don't let external pressure get to them is because the amount of internal pressure they put on themselves. A cleaner will have a higher level of expectation set onto themselves and put tremendous amount of pressure for themselves to perform. This is without anybody else putting any other type of pressure on them. That's why external pressures don't matter to them. It's minuscule compared to the internal pressure they've placed on themselves. And this positive view of pressure is that it is a challenge that will define you. By increasing your level of expectations, it will show you how much you're truly capable of. You want to use the pressure to work hard. You need to work through the discomfort because you'll be stronger afterwards. You won't get stronger by relaxing. You won't get stronger by taking it easy. You won't get stronger by not taking the hard path. You must take the hard path in order to be better. Just like weight training, you won't get stronger by picking up the 5-pound dumbbells week after week, month after month, year after year. You only get stronger by putting more weight onto the bar and lifting it up every single time, increasing that weight. Chapter 8, Go Get Dirty. In times of an emergency, everyone looks for the cleaner, because the cleaner has studied the situation and watched the failures happen and waited to put in the action to win. A cooler waits for you to give him a plan. A closer studies a plan, memorizes it, and knows exactly what he has to do. A cleaner doesn't have a plan. This is because he wants to know every possible outcome and every possible action he needs in order to fix any situation. He's prepared for all eventualities. A cleaner is confident in what he does because he knows that he can adjust his plan along the way and get the results that he has been looking for all along. Where does this come from? It comes from the countless hours of practice that went on behind the scenes. Kobe Bryant didn't get great on the court during a game. He got great with the countless hours of practice he spent off the court. That's where the true cleaners are made, off the court in training and practice and getting your mind right. And what does this lead to? It gives you confidence. Confidence means recognizing something isn't wrong and having humility to know it's not working, but also the knowledge and ability to change the plan to make it start working. Cockiness is not acknowledging anything is wrong. A cooler doesn't take risks. A closer will only take risks when he knows the consequences of failing are minimal. A cleaner doesn't feel risk, because whatever happens, he knows what to do. Risk is only not knowing the final outcome. And if you're a cleaner, you always know the final outcome because you've prepared for every eventuality. Most people are ready for one scenario, or maybe two, but most aren't ready for 11. Few people have the ability to adapt and overcome on the fly, because maybe they didn't spend the 1,000 hours needed in order to get there. They've only practiced one scenario or two. They haven't practiced 11 till they know all 11 like the back of their hand. Because when you practice and train hard and remember everything, they start to become reflexes rather than a conscious thought. The same way that your hand recoils when you touch something hot is the same way you need to train your body to react when a ball gets thrown at you or an opponent walks in your way. You need to be able to react on the fly with the right set of actions because you've trained them till they're no longer a conscious thought. They're subconscious because they're muscle memory at this point. You also have to be willing to fail. In order to build the confidence of trying and trying again, you have to be able to fail, because without failing, you won't learn your limits. Just because you've trained to the nth degree won't mean your instincts won't always be right. But that doesn't mean you should be too timid to snap into action. In the long run, your instincts and ability to kick into gear and take action will serve you better than sitting around and thinking about what to do. Action is always better than non-action, because you can adapt on the fly and you can build the plane as you fly. Following a plan to the T over and over and over again builds in robotic reaction-like autonomy, which isn't necessarily what you want in a time of crisis, because no plan unfolds accordingly. Everyone who's written a plan knows this. And as Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. It's how you react when you get punched in the face that really counts. Are you able to adjust? Are you able to react immediately to these punches that are getting thrown at you? And that's just like life. What this confidence leads to as well is a cleaner will feel no pressure when he makes a mistake, and he'll also have no issue with admitting when he's wrong and shouldering the blame. Kind of like Jocko Willink says, extreme ownership. The cleaner lost the game, it's his fault because he didn't train hard enough. Compare that to a cooler who will give a lot of excuses and no solutions, and a closer who will find somebody else to blame. And this is their ego getting in the way. The problem with this is, you can't fix something unless you first admit it, and it's a great first step in removing the pressure made from the mistake. Once you've admitted it and come clean, all you can do now is focus on how to fix it and improve. And over time, you'll build maturity, experience, and practice. As you mature, you'll realize you don't have to go all out all the time. You'll start to tame your impulses. With experience, you'll get more educated, and the more experience you get, the more tools you'll have available because you'll see more outcomes. No one becomes a cleaner overnight. And that gives us the final step, which is practice. The more you practice, the more you'll hone your skills, the more you'll hone your instincts and sharpen that axe. We're not talking about becoming an overnight success. We're talking about grueling and grinding and hard training and practice behind the scenes that nobody sees. That's where a true cleaner is born. That's where a true cleaner is made. Chapter 9. When you're a cleaner, you don't compete with anyone. You find your opponent's weaknesses and attack. A cooler does a good job and waits for a pat on the back. A closer pats himself on the back. A cleaner just does a good job because that's his job. There's no such thing as a meaningless game to a cleaner. On a team, a cleaner will push everybody else to perform at a higher level than they want to do. They'll never turn back the intensity. And what will happen is the team will either join them at the highest level of performance or the cleaner won't play with them. A true cleaner will lead by example. They'll rise up alone and set the example for how to perform. And the reason why people don't want to do this is because once you show the world what you're capable of, that's what they're going to expect all the time. Most people would prefer to stay in the shadows where the pressure isn't on them 24/7. A true cleaner will shine all the time. It's easy to get frustrated when the team doesn't show up, but letting emotions take control results in you not performing at your peak. When the team doesn't show up, a cleaner just has to perform the job of the team. Kobe Bryant will step up and be the Lakers if he needs to be. A cleaner puts his team where he wants them to be, whilst the other players will wait to be told what to do. And it's simply not about skill and talent. You also have to learn how to be a leader and how to organize a team. And you need to be able to put your members where they're able to excel, identify their strengths and weaknesses, and put them in a fitting place. You have to look at what people can do and stop focusing on what people can't do. A lot of other management theory books talk about this. Don't hire someone for their lack of weakness, hire someone for their strengths. This will allow you to place great people at a task that they'll excel at and greatly benefit the team. You're doubling down on their strengths. And by working with people's strengths, you leverage everyone's ability and fill in the gaps of everyone's weakness as a combined unit. You don't hire the same strengths. You hire a team because of their different strengths and abilities. And as a unit, you close in on the weaknesses that every single person has so that there are no more weaknesses within the unit. That's how to build a strong team. And at the end of the day, the cleaner is responsible for this team. A cooler wonders what will happen, a closer watches things happen, and a cleaner just makes things happen. A cleaner's job is to take control and determine what has to happen in order to get the results. A professional doesn't let anybody else down because of personal issues. The cleaner needs to set the example for others, and that's how they'll make everyone else rise to their level. Lead by example. Chapter 10. When you're a cleaner, you make decisions, not suggestions. You know the answer while everyone else is still asking questions. This is where Grover kind of steps into the mental thought and the feelings part of it. He addresses inner drive, where he kind of breaks down a lot of the self-motivation guru type advice, where inner drive is just thought without actions, internal wanderings. You need to get past that because what are your actions actually doing? Are you actually even taking actions? And he talks or addresses what passions are simply just feelings. You don't follow your passions. You have to work at it really hard. I really liked his address of the question, is the glass half full or half empty? Grover simply says it doesn't matter. Either you like what's in the glass or not, and if you don't like it, change it. All these hypothetical questions just stand in the way of you taking action. Because every minute you waste trying to figure out what to do, someone else is taking action and working to get ahead. People don't want to act because it means they take responsibility for the results, and no one wants to be blamed for the failure, especially when they blame themselves for their own actions. The reason a cleaner makes all the decisions is because he doesn't want anyone else making them for him. He decides and he alone acts on what he wants to achieve. They don't want anyone else controlling over them. Because you can waste a lifetime overthinking and overanalyzing without taking any action and even achieving anything. If you don't take the first step and you've just talked about everything your whole life, you're going to hit the end of your life and think, I should have done this. There are a couple of social surveys out there which shows that one of the biggest regrets of people in aged care facilities is the regret of not taking action on something they wanted to do throughout their life. Just think about that for a second. Are you listening to others or listening to yourself? Are those people you are listening to actually successful? Do they know what they're talking about? Have they been there? Have they done that? Do they stand in a place where they can offer advice on being successful or doing what you want to do? Or are they just like everyone else criticizing you for what you want to achieve without ever having actually achieved anything themselves? Take your advice carefully from people who have actually been there and done that. Procrastinating on actions will only get you further into a rut because you start spinning your wheels with thoughts and overanalysis. The more problems come up as you're waiting to solve the first problem. The biggest irony is that after all the back and forth, you probably go back to the first gut instinct you had to solve the problem. Kind of that snowball effect where I don't do this one thing and then more things that keep piling up as you wait to try and figure out how to solve that first problem. What you need to do is make a plan that you'll actually stick to. And the biggest part of this is do it. Don't overcommit if you know deep down you won't do it, such as an extreme diet or an extreme exercise routine. I'm going to work out 20 hours tomorrow. Things like that aren't what Grover is talking about. He's talking about actually making a lifestyle change and sticking to it. I'm going to eat healthy could mean a bunch of different things. But if you stick to eating healthy over a lifetime, you're going to be a healthy person. You are your habits. You're not your aspirations. And with this taking action mindset, you can't be afraid to jump in. As Tim Ferriss says, you need to do a worst case scenario thought process where it's you have to think, what's the worst that could happen? You're not jumping off a cliff, you're not driving a car into a wall. You're simply choosing to call someone. You're simply choosing to write an email. You're simply choosing to send out your resume. No one's going to reply to you with a life-ending response. There's really nothing that's terrible that's going to happen out of a lot of these actions we'll take. An interesting one that Grover talks about is to stop trying to be a jack of all trades. You don't want to be a mile wide and an inch deep. You want to be a mile deep and an inch wide. You can't be great at everything. And you look at all the great people. Great people get paid well for being experts in one thing. No one's ever been a world-class brain surgeon and an NBA champion. However lofty your goals are, you can only achieve true greatness one thing at a time, at the cost of all other things. Like Grover said at the start of the book, you can't be a cleaner at everything. And if you look at a lot of the cleaners out there, how good is the rest of their life? Is that something you want? You really have to answer these questions yourself. Because by becoming cleaner at one thing, you're going to sacrifice a lot of things in order to get there. Is that something you're willing to do? Because you're going to have to become uncomfortable by being uncomfortable. Because you have to know how to make the tough choices and live with it. And along the path, you're going to develop high tolerance for physical and mental pain. And not only will you develop a high tolerance for pain, a cleaner will actually start to crave the pain. Because what that means is he's got another challenge to overcome. It'll be a battle against himself to see how much pain he can get through in order to improve himself. Because no matter what you do in life, you have to ask the question is, will you stop when the going gets tough? Because pain comes with many disguises, be it mental, physical, or emotional. And the ultimate question is, will you stand by your decision and resolve to continue to become great, or will you fold at the first sign of trouble and pain and discomfort? Chapter 11. When you're a cleaner, you don't have to love the work, but you're addicted to the results. A cooler asks you to pay him less. A closer asks how much and decides if he'll do the work. A cleaner doesn't care about the money. He'll do the work so well he knows you'll appreciate him. Working to get to the top is different to the work needed to stay at the top. It's easy to improve on mediocrity, but it's really hard to improve on excellence. It's easy to take someone from 0 to 1, but to get them from 9 to 10, and then from 99 to 100, that's where a lot of work comes into place. There are no shortcuts or luck in success, only hard work. And when the competition says that you're only the best because you got lucky, or got a handout, or took a shortcut, that's when a cleaner knows that they've already beaten them, because the competition doesn't see all the hard work that's gone into their success. Luck is gambling on the unknown. A cleaner doesn't do this. He only sees actions and outcomes, and his actions dictate the outcomes. And it doesn't matter where you start or what life handed out to you. What matters is what you do with what you got, how to play the cards you're dealt. You won't understand what it means to be relentless until you've struggled to attain something that's just out of your reach, because anybody can take what's right in front of them. If you start at the top, you didn't understand what it took to get there. And most people look for the elevator, and they never look for the stairs to get to the top. The person that started at the bottom and did all the work nobody else wanted to do truly understands what hard work is and will do whatever it takes to get to the top. And once he's there, he'll stay at the top. You don't want to work on being flashy, you want to work on being consistent. Remember, there are no silver bullets, just a whole lot of lead bullets. Cleaners don't care about instant gratification. They invest in the long-term payoff. You have to think about two lists. What you have to sacrifice, and what you're willing to sacrifice to get what you want. And if these two lists don't match up, you don't want it badly enough. Hard work isn't a skill, because anybody can do it. It's your willingness within to do it. Because it comes down to three simple steps. You show up, you work hard, and you listen. Anyone can start something, but very few can finish it. How many unfinished projects do you have lying around the house or lying on the laptop? How many times have you started an endeavor and only gotten an hour into it and gave up or quit? Because with anything you do, there'll always be distractions, and you have to be willing to sacrifice something, anything, or everything. All of the outside stuff is a result from hard work done on the inside. When you're going through a world of pain in your outside world, you continue to work hard and be professional. You can never hide, and you have to face adversity head on. When you're dedicated to being a winner, there is no off-season. You work hard all the time. And there is no privilege greater than the pressure to excel. So that's all I have for today on part 2 of 3 of the series, talking about Relentless by Tim Grover, a fantastic book. So go out and read it, learn it, and absorb it, and use it. This has been Selwyn on the Mindset Toolkit podcast. Thanks for your time. And remember, what you learned today will serve you tomorrow. So go out and go get it.